welcome back to another Sunday with your host, Lisa Lamrock.
And Christy Osgood.
Christy. And everybody in chat, tonight we have with us special guest, Sean Austin, investigator, singer-songwriter, also with Destination America's Demon Files. Welcome, Sean.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it. I'm a lot going on. Crazy schedule.
No problem at all. I know how it is. Trust me.
So, the first question I have to hit you with, because Demon Files was awesome, and I don't know why you guys only did a handful. Is it coming back?
We're still waiting to hear. We had posted on our Facebook that we heard that there was some money or budget issues for the show, but they're interested in doing more for the show. So we're waiting to hear word from, to Ralph and to us on going further. But, it looks good. Just looks like we're still in waiting period. It's definitely not a no. And obviously if it was no, I think that we would have heard that by now. We'll see what happens. I mean, it definitely doesn't look bad. It just seems like, like I said, just waiting to see how it's going to unfold.
Yeah, definitely.
They have a lot of new
shows
coming out on that station, and I'm sure that they have money allocated for a certain amount of shows and trying to figure out who to move around or take out and stuff like that. Who knows with networks these days, so.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved with the Demon Files?
From time to time, I do my own radio show, just like yourself. I've been doing it for like about a couple of years and I usually would bring on people talking about dark hauntings and possessions and demonic stuff. And, I met Ralph on Facebook and ended up having like a long conversation with him. And he asked me to go on some cases and started going on cases with him. And that's how I met some of the other people on the team that were actually from the area. It kind of happened around that time when the show was, offered the idea to Ralph. And then it kind of happened like that. So that's obviously those three episodes were a pilot series to see how it was, how it would do. And that's where we're at right now.
We've got somebody that lives in Canada, and he says he hasn't been able to see your shows. Can you tell them how they can go about seeing it, even though it's not available there on Destination America?
Yeah. Is he on chat right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll post the link right now. Give me 1 second. Yeah, no problem. You can get it free.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's on dailymotion.com. It's kind of like a YouTube-like link, but they have, full episodes of shows. Actually, if you just type into Demon Files and search, you'll be able to find it. They have all three of them.
So the three shows that y'all did do, is there one, a case that sticks out to you the most that was your favorite out of the episodes y'all did film?
It's actually interesting. Because we were all kind of getting used to each other and how the whole filming kind of goes. I mean, I've never been on a TV show before, having cameras everywhere and just finding our stride as a team, getting used to, like I said, everything, how it goes, and feeling comfortable for myself too, because I'm, I've only had these like medium-like abilities for the last few years and I'm still learning about it. But obviously, getting used to how everything felt and proving to Ralph that I have some abilities, I felt comfortable actually using it on the cases. And actually the first episode that actually aired was the last case that we actually filmed. I just felt really good to be able to bring to the table some of my abilities to bring genuinity to the cooperation of the claims of the people in the house. And that felt really good for me, to just bring so much to the table, obviously by firsthand experience, but then also my abilities, bringing evidence, from that retrospect as well.
So you said you've just started getting coming into your abilities about 2 years ago. Did it kind of freak you out at first? Because I have been, like, over the last probably 6 to 9 months starting to come into my abilities. And it kind of freaked me out at first. I didn't know if I really wanted to have those abilities.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was nervous that possibly an evil spirit was trying to make me convinced that I was psychic and maybe something was giving it to me. And I was concerned that it was some other version of oppression because I was oppressed when I came back from Bobby Mackey's the first time I went there a few years ago, and I was coerced to play with the Ouija board, and I regretted it.
Yeah, and, I don't know Ouija board.
Yeah. No, it's what I like to call spiritual Russian roulette, and it's literally like a loaded spiritual gun to your head. But I got through it, and I believe that God let me go through that for a reason so I can have a deeper understanding of how oppression can happen. And how, you know, it's not just, because people assume just attacks will happen that'll be physical things thrown at you or scratches or pushes and stuff like that. It's a lot more delicate than that. They can psychologically tap into your head and influence your whatever negative emotions that you can have as a human being to influence you, to harm yourself or others. And they can sit and wait and dormant months, years, until you think it has nothing to do with paranormal. And literally just, you know, push you right to the edge for whatever chaotic plans they can have for you and your family, your loved ones, and your friends, and so forth. So it's, you know, it's very delicate, but that's why it's good to be versed in all the worst-case scenarios for all these, like, paranormal-type dark instances.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, no, I was going to ask about, like, because you did a lot of reading. You were talking about reading a lot of books. I mean, ask what you recommend for people that want to learn more. Think, they need to be educated.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, when I first started having experiences from dark, you know, dark in nature and just premonitions and things that kind of started coming to me, I had read the Warren's book, The Demonologist. That's the first book I read. It's very easy to read. And it's very informative. And I read John Zaffis's book, Shadows of the Dark, I think it's called, and then Ralph's book, it was called Beware the Night, but now they call it Delivers from Evil because it's, you know, the movie, and I also read what was called The Dark Sacrament, which is some of the craziest tales of demonic hauntings and possessions that all take place in Ireland. It's terrifying, crazy, crazy stories, but... It, you know, my brain was a sponge to all those books, and, you know, every experience, I just, you know, I suck it up, and I try to learn from it, and, you know, that's why I actually started doing a radio show myself, because I feel like I could learn from every single person that would come on my show to kind of hear their story and ask them questions and eat their brain, and, you know, we compare our stories, because we can all give something to each other in the field, and we can learn something from each other, and that's what it's all about. I just love the, you know, the share of knowledge and experiences, and you know, that's why it's such an unfathomable gift to be able to experience things that are legitimately paranormal, and then to be able to actually help people in the process is you know, fulfilling on an unchartable level.
Absolutely.
You had touched on. Sorry, Lisa. You had said that, you know, you talked about God earlier, so would you say that you are religious? And if you are, how does your beliefs help you in your investigations?
I mean, yeah, no, I'm Catholic. I mean, everyone on Ralph's team is Catholic. Your faith has to be strong, because when you're dealing with something that's legitimately demonic, I mean, the definition of demonic is something of, I mean, Catholicism in nature. It's a fallen angel. I've witnessed things of dark nature reacting to religious significant things, you know, actually a little bit before I met Ralph. I mean, I was on the phone with some girl that was in the symptoms of being what I believe to be possessed. She had spoken Latin and English backwards on the phone to me. I didn't even know it was English backwards until I played the audio that I recorded over on speaker and backwards. That was mind-blowing. And one time I was on the phone with her, and she was speaking in a low tone voice like a male. She was speaking nasty to me, and she couldn't see me. I had like a 6-inch crucifix And right when I put the cross up to the phone, it was like, pissed at me. And that just blew my mind. Things like that are just like, how do you explain that? I mean, if that, you know, talk about bringing validity to your faith. I had something visit me when I tried to help this this guy with his case out that I believe was legitimately demonic. And I tried to solicitate help for this guy. And the night I put him on the phone with somebody to try and help him, I got visited. I woke up in my bed. I had a vision that I was in this basement of this guy's house, which I had been in, which was really, really bad. Psychically, I've never felt as bad as I've ever felt in this guy's basement. And he had said, oh, Sean, in this vision, do you think it's gone? And then the lights turned off and on. And I woke up in the same feeling of just panic. And it's buzzing below my belly button, which is where my stomach chakra is, just started to just grow. And that same feeling that I felt when I was in this basement was getting worse and worse. And I started to get flashes of this hooded thing with like a knife over my bed and then blood dripping on a Bible. And then I saw this like bluish haired half goat buffalo creature in the corner of my bed. I'm like, oh no. So I whipped out the Psalm 91 prayer. I said the first line of the prayer and my lights and my fan turned off for 3 seconds and turned back on. And then I finished, I had full body chills and I like, you know, finished the prayer and then I was able to get back to sleep after that. You know, things like that, just pretty mind-blowing.
Okay, well, do you do any rituals before an investigation to keep you and those that you're with safe?
Like, well, we'll say
prayer
the rosary.
Or the rosary?
We'll say the rosary, yep.
Yeah.
Which is a very powerful thing against the devil and evil in general.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like I said, faith is our best protection. These things feed off fear. And if you don't have legitimate faith, they know it. They can sniff it out. Like you're like a wounded fish in the ocean to sharks. Then they can sense your vulnerability. They know that they have a chance to attack you because of your weaknesses. That's why they'll target certain people and individuals that maybe go into certain haunted places. They might have specific individual histories that are dark in nature that they can pull those strings on them and mess with them. So they're going to latch on to people that have things that they can use against them, so to speak. So, it's just it's very tricky. It's very delicate if you don't know what you're doing. And that's why, you know, just don't want to feed them any negative emotions because they'll use that against you. That's what they get energy from, and it's more energy for them to manifest and cause chaos in any sort of fashion that they can put into work, which is their tactical way of, you know, coming at us as a human. I mean, they're at war with their kind. They want us to fail at every single instance. It's the whole reason why they left God. They don't want to worship man because our souls can, you know, learn these unfathomable lessons throughout our lives by going through the experiences and the trials and tribulations of our life with no higher knowledge. That's the whole reason why they left God. And so and when humans commit horrific crimes against other humans and acts and commit suicide, it's saying, look, you know, man can't handle what life throws at them. And it's kind of like mockery to God. And that's why they do things in threes, because obviously it's all about mocking God. It's all mocking about the creation of man, because, you know, that's the whole point.
But you had mentioned that it's based on free will, so it's the invitation only. But I guess obviously it could be like a naive teenager playing with a board or something too.
Mm-hmm.
With demons.
I mean, it's not. The funny thing, it's not really the actual like the Ouija board that's evil. We underestimate the energy that we have ourselves individually, because it doesn't matter. Just like that Charlie game that came out, and like, oh, everyone it's made it up for a movie. It doesn't matter. Our intent is to use an inanimate object to open up the doorway to the spirit realm and communicate with quote-unquote whatever that wants to communicate with us. That is an invitation mm-hmm. to communicate with whatever, and you're putting your energy into an inanimate object, and that's what's connecting with you And that's where the invitation lies, because these things can't come into your lives without some sort of invitation along the line somewhere. It could have been somewhere, you know, you might move into a house where that invitation had already been open and you could be susceptible to that. But I mean, you read these books about, you know, the demonologist and Ralph's book and all these, I mean, 90% of these cases start with Ouija boards. I mean, people,
how
God
do you
will not
feel
let
about,
these things
like,
come into our lives.
What about like the SB7, 11 Echo Box, obviously other types of portals? Do you use them, like them, don't like them? I mean, what do you think about
those? Love the Spirit Box. I think it's one of the best tools ever. I just think it's different than a Ouija board, because I just think it's different. There's some sort of connection to maybe where you're holding an object and that thing is moving, and it's almost like it's moving your hand too. It's like, it's kind of like dowsing rods, because I think dowsing rods can be dangerous too, because it's all about that connecting of energy, because you want that thing to come into that area. Because I mean, you could just put a spirit box on the ground and it'll say the words out loud. It's all about putting our energy into an object and you're connecting that energy with it. I think that's where the more of the danger lies.
Okay, well, I have a couple of questions. One of them is from me. One of them is going to be from someone in chat. You're talking about, like, the dowsing rods and the intent, where when I do an investigation, my intent is not to seek out anything that is an evil intent or demonic presence or anything like that. I do use dowsing rods, and I do use a pendulum. Do you think that in the aspect, since I'm going into it with a pure intent, that I'm okay using those items? Or do I need to be leery about doing that?
I would be wary about it, because there's no guarantee when you're dealing with the paranormal. I mean, there's people that use the Ouija boards that have never gotten in trouble before, but just like, you could play with it one time, you could play with it 100 times, nothing could happen, but on that one time, something can happen. Because I actually remember an episode of A Haunting where some kid went on an investigation with his mom, and she was a cop, and gave dowsing rods to this kid, and then like he sees these shadows come at him, and then he goes home and he starts going through the stage of possession. So it's risky. I mean, I just think about the, because look, I have psychic abilities, and you know, having, you know, there's some mediums that actually let spirits come into them and do trance medium stuff.
Yeah, I can do that.
And that's just like, I think that's where the danger lies, is where you're letting them like connect with your energy, and that could be a doorway into what they're trying to do to possess you ultimately. Obviously we can only speculatively say, but from my experience, I mean, I've never heard about anyone getting possessed from playing a spirit box. It's always been a Ouija board. I've heard of stories of dowsing rods. It's always about these inanimate objects where we're, you know, connecting with energy, or it's just like that invitation where they're kind of like, you know, it's a little bit more deeper in value, and danger, I think, with riskiness.
Okay. Along that same lines, though, I mean, like I say, you're going into an investigation and it's a home, and you know yourself as being a medium that you can walk in and you can feel the type of energy that's in the place. You can kind of
Absolutely.
Tell if there's any kind of evil intent in the home. So if you go into a place that, you know, you can tell it's not evil, you know, there's no harsh, you know, energies inside there, do you feel then that maybe the pendulum or the dowsing rods would be okay to use, or is that still just asking for trouble?
Like I said, there's no guarantee. You know what I mean? Like, do I think something bad can happen?
I like my pendulum. But, I mean, I also don't want to risk,
everyone has their way of doing things. Like, any of us can get into trouble, even if we know a good amount of stuff and we pray and do all this stuff. Like, there's no guarantee. Like, dude, I mean, I say protection prayers out the ass every night. I have blessed metals in between my bed, and I still get like crazy visitations. Things come at me like these things can, you know, especially when you're putting yourself in the ways of trying to facilitate help for people who dark entities are going after, you immediately become a target, and you're always a target for these things. So all I'm trying to do is, when I say these things, is like kind of lower the percentage of risks. You know, there's no guarantee. You could go in and use those sort of things and nothing might happen to you, but, you know, you could go into a house and something could happen. And there's so many different scenarios where these things could have a little bit more permission to get into people's lives and attach on to them and follow them home. So, I mean, look, I can't definitively say, but I just think it's riskier. I mean,
yeah, understand that.
That's all. It's just, you know, everyone can do what they want. I mean, but, hey, look, I paid hard for playing with the Ouija board. And I just think about holding things that it's like you're sharing energy with something.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I think that's where the danger lies, is when you're sharing energy with something. You're holding on to an object, and it's almost like you're holding hands with the spirit. And it's almost like, come to me, you know, show me so I can, you know. Like I said, this is only speculative. We can only guess what truly is happening.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think somewhere in that sort of sharing of energy, it's almost like the permission for them to start and doing whatever they want to do. But I mean, you know, every time I go to a haunted location, like, I mean, I bless myself before and after with holy water, and I say no one can follow me home, and I cover myself and all my belongings with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I fear no evil. And like I said, like, I still get visitations. You know, I've been to haunted locations, and you know, and I start saying prayers, not to provoke, but I psychically,
yeah,
I've picked up where, like, you know, I was in this place in Ohio like a couple of months ago, and my impressions were that these females were tortured and murdered by this evil doctor or some sort of thing in this house. And I started saying prayers for these women. And this thing on the spirit box, it yelled at me. It's like, come over here. And I'm like, I stood there. I'm like, look, I'm not scared of you. My faith is more powerful than you. And I was like, if you're trapping women here, then I'm going to say a prayer for them so they can find peace. And I sat there and I imagined, like, you know, this white light coming down. I'm just praying, like, please, angels, you know, help these women find the light and go find peace. And I'm like, can you give me some sort of confirmation? And then I got two female thank yous on one SB7 that I was holding and the SB11 that was on a fireplace. And I saw, like, a vision of, like, a white dove, and I'm just like, holy crap.
Wow.
That was just mind-blowing to me. And I have that guy from that Ohio place that I was at pissed off me for doing that. And I actually was just investigating a cemetery today. I was just periscoping it. And that guy came through in the spirit box, and everybody was watching it. And he was like, I'm from Ohio. He was a Freemason. And I was like, can you, any spirits tell me, you know, confirm who this guy is? And then they said, evil, he murdered right after that. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, and I was speaking to him, and I was like, why are you angry at me? I was like, did I free some females, like, you know, that you trapped, that you murdered? And it goes, yes. And I'm like, how many? He goes, two. It was crazy.
Wow. Well, go ahead.
You know, my intent is, you know, when I investigate, I mean, yeah, I want to learn through it, but, like, if I feel like I have psychic abilities, if people are in peril, especially women or children, like, I'm going to say a prayer for them. I want them to find peace because, you know, that could be us. I mean, they were human just like we are right now. I mean, if I saw a wounded female or a child on the side of the road, would you walk by or you try to help them? I mean, I feel the same way when it comes to spirits. It's not like I just want to walk into every location. Yeah, it's great to experience this stuff, but there's, I mean, spirits that are ghosts, they're trapped. They're going through some sort of, like, purgatory peril. And saying a prayer for them, I think that's the right thing to do. It's not like, you know, we just walk into a place and, you know, go to a amusement park, get on a roller coaster and just leave and be like, oh, that's great. Having psychic abilities and picking up on what's actually going on there makes me feel like I have more of an obligation to do that, too.
Exactly, yeah. Well, Chuck wants to know, How prevalent demons are in our world today?
How what?
Prevalent demons are in our world today.
Well, think about it. Think about the arsenal attacks on Christianity, the beheadings, the murderings of children, and evil is definitely prevalent today. These things don't want to know that, you know, don't want everyone to know that they exist. They can hide in the shadows and influence man to commit murders and horrific crimes. And no, there's a big battle going on, I believe, in the spiritual realm. It's always happening, but as of lately, I mean, with things like ISIS and stuff like that, absolutely. I definitely think that there's a shift, too, especially with the way paranormal is these days compared to what it was 20, 30 years ago. People weren't willing to come out and tell their stories. Now people are more open to talk about their experiences, and more people are getting interested into it, and the more people that acknowledge the possibility of the paranormal, they open up themselves to that world, and more experiences are happening to more people. I believe our aura starts to change when we can have some sort of spiritual awakening, when we're open up to these possibilities, and that does thin the world a bit, because I believe that more people, because we all have psychic abilities. People have a little bit more natural than others, but we all do have it. And when you're, like I said, when you open up, like I say, when I got into the paranormal, you know, things start to happen to me pretty quickly, and I think I triggered a psychic ability that was in me the whole time, and that's when it started to happen to me. So you just never know.
It looks like we've got a question in chat. We'll hit that question, then we'll take a break, and when we come back, I want to hit on your music, your book, and then I've got something that I do, five random personal questions for you. It's a lot of fun.
Sure.
Let's see. Kent says, what place would you say would be the most demonic place besides the place you just talked about?
Well, wherever the most horrific things have happened, I think about the place where Ghost Adventures went. I mean, I'd love to just, you know, get a lay of the land myself, but I talk about the dark places, Pobeglia Island, Italy. I mean,
the dark tragedies
of hundreds of thousands of people, and the Black Death, and the tsunami that allegedly killed just tens of thousands of people. It's literally an island of death, and that's where the demonic is drawn to, is just suffering in any sort of fashion, which opens up doorways to those things. So I would think somewhere like that, or just anywhere where there's just mass horrific events that have taken place on the planet would be a doorway for these things to come through. That's what they want. That's what they feed off, and that's where they can go in and out of.
Absolutely. Well, we'll take a quick four-minute break. We're going to play a song that you wrote, How I Want You So Bad, and when we come back, we'll lighten things up.
All right. Yeah, it's my new single coming out.
Never thought I'd see it. The end of the deep inner search. Like a picture taken in my mind. As if I was already with you in a lovely blur.
Welcome back. Welcome those that are just joining. We're on with Sean Austin of Demon Files, and of course you do music and write. I have five questions for you I'm going to hit you with.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Three things you can't live without.
Three things I can't live without. My guitar. The gym. And the beach.
Those are good. Favorite song to belt out at the bar or karaoke?
Any song by Pearl Jam or Goo Goo Dolls.
10 years
yeah, I didn't
from now.
See that coming.
Really?
No,
10 years from now, where will you be?
Hopefully, living by or on the beach.
All your answers are beach. Beach, beach, beach.
Yeah. Too much beach is not enough. I love the ocean. I love warm weather. I'm not a fan of the winter.
Yeah, I move further south. A few hours from Corpus. So, okay, next one. If you could open up for any artist on tour, who would it be?
Pearl Jam.
Let me guess, Pearl Jam.
Yeah, of course.
Based on your other answer. And then top of your bucket list. It doesn't have to be paranormal, like a paranormal place, but what's on the top of your bucket list to do?
Top of my bucket list, Lord. I'd really like to just travel the world. I mean, you know, if I'm able to do that, doing whether paranormal related or just touring with my music and just going to different towns, different cities, to states, places, constantly, whether it's for music or spirituality and the paranormal, like that would be my dream. There's just so many great places. There's new people to meet. There's so many experiences that are out there for us. Life is so short. So, I mean, just traveling all around for anything that has to do with my passions, 100% for sure.
How long have you been singing and writing?
Oh, it's been since, it's got to be 18, 19 years.
Oh, wow. And how would you describe your music like?
Alternative pop rock in the vein of Pearl Jam, Goo Goo Dolls. I really like Switchfoot too. Anything that's inspirational, anything that, you know, my favorite songs I would get the chills from. And I think about like, it's kind of like getting the chills and going to a haunted location, but in a really good positive light. Any music that connects you to your soul, anything that's inspiring. That's what that's my ideal when trying to write songs.
And what were you going to hit on, Chrissy?
Just crossed each other again. I had heart on an interview that you had back in January where you said that when you were in grammar school, your favorite author was Stephen King. What was your favorite book back then, and is it still your favorite book now?
Oh, that was reading Stephen King books back in the day in grammar school. Well, I vividly remember reading the book, Stephen King's It. I mean, that was just a really creepy, cool book. And what a sicko I was. I mean, and they're remaking it, too.
That one.
It's supposed to be like a lot more brutal.
No.
You got it on a family of clowns, I take it.
No, I don't like clowns.
But you started a book, though.
I did start a book. I got to get back at it. I've been really busy, but I definitely plan to get that out, hopefully within next year. I've had so many experiences just being in the paranormal over the last 5 years. There's definitely at least one or two books in there. It's really crazy. It's pretty amazing, but I love every single moment of it that Every day is another chance to experience some sort of spiritual experience, and being able to bring that spiritual experience into my human life Because when we die, the cat's out of the bag, there's no surprises anymore. We know everything. And to be able to bring that experience, learn through it, bring knowledge to myself and share that with everyone and help people or and help souls in any sort of way, I just feel like that's my path, whether it be through music or spirituality.
Okay, I want to touch a little bit more again on the demons because that's kind of an area that really does interest me. Do you believe that there's demons at cemeteries? I mean, do you think that they kind of hang out around there? Because, I mean, there was one cemetery I had really, really bad experience at that I've never experienced at another cemetery. And it really felt like it was a pretty demonic presence to me when I was attacked by it. So I was just wondering if you feel like there's demons at cemeteries.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I've witnessed
Dang, I was hoping you would say no.
Cemeteries. No, there definitely is.
Say no, that
there's
wasn't what
wherever
me
there's death, wherever there's death, I mean, you know, there's portals for these things to come through. I have an ability to see some dark shit. I was at a cemetery months ago, and I was investigating. I was periscoping, and I saw this black orb, like spirit energy. It was the size of, like, you know, bigger than a grapefruit, and I knew it was bad. When I see something that big, I know it's bad, and it's really black. And like, we were using a spirit box, and it was really crazy. It was referring to it as the burning one, and it's not the first time I've heard that. It's not the first time I've heard that terminology come through, the spirit box, and referring to after I saw something dark. It was really freaky. My friend, I was at a cemetery three years ago, and we had gotten out of the car, and I knew something nasty was around. I, you know, felt that, like, just that unsettling feeling, and my friend was an idiot, and he had drinks, and he had a bad day. He's like, come on, someone scratch me. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. And I had the Ovilus on, and it said, like, inhuman, and then, like, devil. And then, like, my friend had burning on his stomach, and he had these huge scratch marks. They're as thick as, like, lipstick lines, three of them from his nipples all the way down to his waist. And he's like, holy crap, I had to take a picture of it so I could show it to him because he couldn't see it. It was so dark. And then he's like, oh, my God, do it to me again. And then it went and happened to him again on his arm right after that, like crazy, the same exact shape and three scratches. I'm just like, and I felt
you
burning on my back.
Again.
Yeah, he is an idiot. So I felt burning on my back and my stomach, and I'm like asking on a recording, I'm like, you know, and I didn't see any scratches show up. I'm like, why are you trying to scratch me? Am I protected? And I have on this EVP, and you hear this voice that goes, St. Michael's watching him. It's his effing pendant.
Wow.
And I wear a blessing St. Michael pendant around my neck.
Wow. I had one get on my back at a cemetery. We had taken a group of people and did like a public event with this team I used to be on a long time ago. And I knew when we walked in, because she went straight to this one spot. And I mean, it was like she had the spirit box out and she was asking a question and it says, leave now. And I looked at her, I said, we need to go. And she's like, no. It said, leave now, like three times in the matter of like 15 seconds. And I'm like, we need to leave. Well, we get down, we're leaving the monument area, and she starts taking off to the back of the cemetery. And you could just tell by her movements, she was being pulled back there. And I'm sitting there going, we need to go this way. And one of the people that was with us, she was, you know, one of our guests, and she just starts throwing up. She's crying. And it's just like, she's like, why are all these people around me? And she was seeing little black shadows all over the cemetery. And she goes, they're so upset, they're so sad. Well, I finally get everybody kind of geared back towards going towards the front and everything. And we're like almost dead center in front of this mausoleum that in the past, Ovilus had said demon in front of it.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking with my head down. I can't even look up and everything because I've just thrown so much pressure on me. And finally, I'm like, we've got to stop. And I look up, and that monument or that mausoleum is probably 20 feet from me. I'm like, okay, we're going this way. We get over to the Suburban, and all of a sudden, I go down to my knees. I'm throwing up. I'm hyperventilating. I'm crying, and I just feel like this heavy thing is on my back, and I'm screaming, get it off, get it off. Well, the girl that I was with, she was in the back trying to light a smudge stick. She was going to come try to smudge me. Every time she got near me, it went out. And so finally she's back there and she's like screaming, I can't get it lit. And he's in my ear and he goes, I won't let it. I was like, okay, that's it. That's God. God, you need to come in now. You know what I mean? I started calling out to him. I said, you're the only one that can do this. Get him off of me. And within a few seconds, you know, I threw myself back up on the Suburban. I was standing up and he was gone. And they looked at my back and I had like these welts all over my back. I had scratch marks. I mean, it was almost covering my whole back. And that was the only time I've had it. I'm like, okay, I didn't like that. I won't go back there. I won't go back there.
Crazy.
But when I heard that in my ear saying, I won't let it, I'm like, okay, yeah, God, I need you now. You need to come in.
Yeah.
Is there ever a case where you feel that Ralph can't take care of and y'all refer to a Catholic church, or is he pretty much good on all cases? Or I mean,
well,
I don't know at what point
if we investigate it and we feel that it's legitimate, and the most important thing obviously is that the people have the intent and the faith to get rid of whatever they have, to do whatever it takes to get rid of it, then we would go through with an exorcism on the home. If they don't have that, then you would see scenarios kind of like the third episode of our show, which was kind of an awkward situation, to say the least. It's, you know, you can't help people if they can't help themselves. You know, we're capable of dealing with any case that is legitimately dark. It's the people. It's the people. I mean, you could go in and clean a house and cleanse it and do an exorcism on a home, and it's the people, their livelihoods, the way they live. They can bring all that stuff right back in as if we were never there. It's how they live their lives. Break their oars and let these things just come right back in as if nothing was done for them. That's the real key. It's the intent and how they live their lives, closer to God and closer to their faith, to protect them from evil all around. Because, you know, once these things know who you are, they all know who you are, and you'll always be a target, and they're always looking for a crack in your aura to get back in there to cause chaos in your life or anyone around you. It's never ends.
Looks like you've got a question in chat. It says, have you ever been chased out of a graveyard by the public or had weird looks from other people visiting loved ones?
Well, yeah, I've gone to a cemetery during the day and people look at me while all they hear is from their product, what in the frick is going on over there?
Who's this freak over here with this?
I kind of just, and they hear like a robot voice of like the ovulus, like, I'm like, what the hell is going on over there? Yeah, I've definitely got some weird looks. I remember one time, one of the security guards from the graveyard, they had found me. They saw my car because the cemetery is so big, and I've been there for like an hour or two, and they thought I committed suicide somewhere. Like, oh, we found you. We have a note on your car. We want to make sure you're okay. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just sitting here, you know.
Talking to the dead.
Don't worry about me. Hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, absolutely.
Okay. I've heard you talk before about spiritual rules of engagement. Can you explain what that is?
It's what I like to call, I came up with that, which I was referring to before. It's kind of like how once we get involved with the paranormal and then we step into that world and then our free will and our actions kind of like change the planes of our existence individually. It's how, you know, God has created this rule of how paranormal things will happen to us if we get involved with the paranormal. If we walk into a dark layer of dark stuff that's going on, it's kind of changing the rules. It's, you know, how we get ourselves involved with the paranormal and the things that will start to happen to us when we open up to ourselves to that world. And that world is open up to us because of our free will. So that's, you know, like what I like to call spiritual rules of engagement, because it's how we get involved with things, and then the rules change when it comes to, you know, that world and the things that will start to happen to us because we've involved ourselves in it. and the choices we've made involved with it as well.
Okay. Demons versus evil entities. What's the difference and the telltale signs of a demonic presence?
Well, an evil entity, well, is it once was a human. It might have been an evil person in life. They could, you know, evil entities can still scratch. It's not all demons. They can do negative things. They can make you think that it is a demon, but there are certain characteristics like scratching on the walls, sulfuric or rotten flesh smells, anything that happens in threes, three knocks, three scratches, depression, becoming a recluse. There's just certain things that will happen at stages because they will go from infestation to oppression to ultimately possession. Like I said, it's first they have the permission to come in and cause the chaos. That's the infestation. And then the psychological attacks, which is oppressing their victim, trying to depress them, make them sad, and go off by themselves. Because the more that they can feel like they're going off by themselves, the more they feel alone, the more they feel detached from life, and they can attack them, and they'll ruin their sleep, and they're sucking energy. But, you know, negative entities do the same thing. Demons are just more tactical, more extreme in every single fashion. There's so many different scenarios that can happen. But there are certain specific, definitely characteristics of demonic entities. But demonic entities are fallen angels. They were never human. That's why they're inhuman. They are aliens. Demons are aliens because they never lived on planet Earth. Anything that's not from of this Earth, this world is, you know, an alien. So,
Well, now you said that you carry your rosary with you, but do you carry any other like forms of talismans or crystals or anything like that with you during an investigation to keep you protected?
I have a blessed St. Michael pendant. I have St. Benedict coins. I go through a lot of holy water. especially with the things that happen to me at night every once in a while, it's, you know, you're going to experience something once in a while. It's just, especially me, I have abilities, and it's crazy. I could tell you what happened to me with Saturnville Rectory is actually pretty crazy, because part of my ability is when I'm going to a place that I've never been and there's some sort of demonic entity or some sort of thing like that, I get some sort of vision correlating to what's there. I'm almost like I get, like, introduced to what's there or the scenario that's going on there. And a few nights before, we flew out to Kentucky to go to Bobby Mackey's, and then we ended up going to Saturnville Rectory. But I'd already been to Bobby Mackey's. I had a vision that I was in this house, and these little kid spirits were coming up to me, and they were warning me about a demon, B-E-E-L-Z-E-B-U-B. And there were things floating in the house, and there's banging on the walls in the house. And my friend who came with me on the trip was kind of acting freaked out. And I looked out the window of this house, and there was a black donkey outside of the house with red eyes, and it was running around the house in circles constantly. It was hee-hawing over and over again, like it was angry. And then there was this black peacock thing, and it just went rah, like screeched, and then I jumped up and woke up, and I didn't know what it was for or what it had to do with, but when I got to Saturnville Rectory, the whole house seemed familiar to me, and I knew it was in the dream. And while we were investigating there, we were using the spirit box. It must have said that demon's name like 25 times on the spirit box, and these little kid spirits were coming across saying like help and stuff like that. And once again, I just find myself in that scenario where I feel like towards the end of the night, I had a flashlight on, and this priest that allegedly molested the boys and maybe killed some of them was saying that he had no regret for what he had done. And he said he was the priest. And I'm saying, well, if you have any kid spirits here, then I'm going to say a prayer for them to let them cross over. And I did my usual thing. I started praying, and I just try to imagine a white light to come down so they can see it, maybe pray to my angels to help them find, you know, the light and, you know, find peace. And the spirit box was on for like a half hour. It didn't say a freaking word. It was just the whole freaking time. After I was done with my prayers, I'm like, can you give me some sort of confirmation?
I like your impressions.
What?
How sorry, your impressions of the spirit box and everything else.
I know.
For everything. It's great.
Yeah. But finally, I was like, can you give me confirmation that, you know, maybe some of these prayers have helped some of these kids' spirits to cross over or any of these trapped souls here? And a voice comes across. I have it on video, and you just hear this voice say, they are free. And I was like, holy shit.
Wow.
I was, yeah. And I feel like, you know, I was brought that vision. Like, those kids were asking for help, and that thing, like, I feel like the demonic thing was pissed off.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I mean, I can't definitively say that's what really went on, but, like, that evidence is evidence to me that there's a good chance that it didn't. All I can do is try to do what's right when going into a place. And I prayed for, you know, especially children. I mean, I want to pray for them to, like, find peace. I mean, if anything, children are the most innocent of us all. So
definitely.
But having evidence to, you know, for a chance to actually think that you might have your hand in helping souls cross over, and especially children, definitely feels good.
Yeah.
Purpose to my passion and know that I'm doing the right thing. It's definitely fulfilling.
Well, I hate to start wrapping, but in a minute we're going to have to, because we're getting close to the hour. But I've got one last question for you before we do. What are your thoughts like on ufology, cryptozoology? Do you look into any of that, study any of that, investigate any of that?
No, I don't do any of the alien stuff. No. I mean, is there a possibility that there's life on other planets out there? Of course there is. But no, it doesn't really interest me as, you know, like the spirituality side of things. The spirituality things is way more advanced in my imagination of where I could tap into things rather than the UFO stuff. I'm really strictly the ghost stuff.
Before we wrap, where can people find you? You mentioned Periscope. What websites, links, where can they contact you, follow you?
Yeah.
Twitter, mm-hmm. That kind of stuff.
My Periscope and Twitter are the same handle. It's just Sean, D as in David, Austin, as in Austin, Texas. My Facebook is facebook.com/SeanAustinMusic. If you email me anywhere there, I'm pretty good about getting back to people if you have any questions. That's what it's all about, sharing, you know, knowledge and trying to help people. So absolutely go for it.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time to bullshit with Christina tonight. And y'all stay tuned. We're going to go out with Taking October and come back next Sunday. Thanks again for your time, Sean.
No problem. Everyone have a good night.
Night, everyone.